Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brought to you by Xfinity. Supercharge your home with supersonic Wi-Fi, unbeatable internet, only from Xfinity. Coach, as always, thank you so much for your time. It's Whitey and Alan Stiles today. All things considered, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing fine. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. We're hearing from a lot of, you know, Warrior fans who are frustrated, of course, as I'm sure you and your staff have been. I have to ask, start, Coach, with the play in which Draymond turned his back on the ball, speaking of frustration, gave up on the play, failed to get back, although OKC failed to score. It seemed in a way like we were witnessing the opening of to see Draymond doing that, it was like a crack in the foundation of the team. Is that, Coach, in your estimation, is that an overreaction?
Well, it was one of several plays in the first half where I felt we were disconnected, and I think there's no question that it can't happen. You have to stay connected throughout every game. There's always going to be moments of frustration. There were a lot of moments of frustration in that game last night, and Draymond knows he was wrong. We talked about it at halftime. He knew he was wrong. He let his frustration get the best of him, and he came back out and competed and played well and played hard in the second half. And, you know, these things happen in the course of an 82-game season, and as long as they don't linger, you keep pushing forward.
You know, Coach, it feels like we've had this conversation before. Basically, anytime Steph goes out and he comes back and how it affects Jordan Poole. I'm just curious, is there a conversation that you've had or are there conversations that you continue to have with Jordan Poole when Steph is out with injury and then comes back? If it's anything like, hey, you know, we know you need to be more aggressive here, or hey, we know you're going back to the bench, but you still need to do X, Y, and Z. Are those conversations that you're still working through with Jordan Poole being a young player?
Well, that's part of coaching, is having individual conversations with your players all the time. So I'm touching base with all of our guys, and Jordan is definitely one of them as a young player who's really talented and who's had a lot of success. But also has a lot of growth ahead of him, which is one of the things that's exciting about JP and where he may be a few years from now. So all of this for him, just like all young players, is part of the experience, you know, of being in the NBA. There's ups and there's downs and there's adversity, and we've had a ton of adversity this year. Jordan has personally had plenty of it. And it's all about how you respond. But, you know, the thing that makes a season like this difficult is when you've got guys in and out and you've got stops and starts, is it's tough for individual players to find a comfort zone, you know, find certain lineup combinations, certain roles, certain substitution patterns, because everything's kind of all over the place. And so it's tough on Jordan. It's tough on everybody. But, you know, it's his job and it's everybody's job to just keep playing, because it's still the same job. You know, you're still going out there and playing, and you got to make good plays continuously at both ends.
Steve Kerr with us on 95.7 The Game. This may not be fair, Coach, but I know after you went on the winning streak, Ron Adams was on TV and he was asked, what's going on with the defense? He said, the guys are just playing with more juice. Now, Jordan Poole, to me, in the last couple games coming off the bench, he doesn't seem, it's hard to say sitting at home, but doesn't seem to be playing with much juice. Is he having a hard time finding his way into the game as the sixth man? Is that an issue at all, or am I just way off on that?
No, I think you know, what I just said is definitely a factor for Jordan. It's been tough for him to be in and out of the lineup, to have his rotation changed. But the same goes for Kuminga, the same goes for Looney, and the same goes for Dante. You know, you can go down the list, but what I've experienced in my NBA career, both as a player and as a coach, is, you know, when things go well and you have a good season, and you have consistency of health and good play, it's really easy for everybody to fall into a role. And when things are topsy-turvy and you go through adversity, roles change. And it's really hard to find your role and to fill your role when a season is really bumpy. And that's what I see this year. A lot of stops and starts, as I said, and changing lineups, and it just makes it difficult on a lot of guys. But that's the way it is, and you got to play through it.
Coach, you have one more game for this three-game road trip before you come back home. And I'm just curious, obviously, besides guys being in and out of the lineup, the roster doesn't necessarily change when you're home and on the road. Could any of this at this point be mental in terms of when you're on the road, just it's starting to now avalanche into something? Oh, we don't play well on the road. And then you play into that maybe mentally, or is it just a physical thing? What could it be?
Well, obviously, you know, we've been looking at this since the very beginning of the season. We started out 0-5 on our East Coast road trip, and that kind of put us behind the eight ball, and we've been swimming upstream, you know, ever since. I'm mixing my metaphors here, but you know, the slow start contributed to the road woes for sure. And the interesting thing is, when you look at the numbers, teams are just shooting the lights out against us from three on the road, and then when we get back to Chase, they don't shoot the three nearly as well. It's a dramatic difference. Last night felt like one of those games where, man, they were hitting everything. You know, I think at the end of the first quarter, you get the young guy, Jang, who hits a sidestep three from 26 feet at the buzzer. You know, he was shooting 25% from three going into the game. So you just don't expect that on the road, and yet it's happening. And so we have to look at it and say, all right, is that a fluke? I don't think it's a fluke. I think in general, teams are getting better shots against us on the road than they're getting at home. So that's just about really fortifying your defense at the point of attack. You know, not having to make as many rotations, keeping the ball in front of you. You know, just making sure your opponent is getting lesser quality shots than what they're getting.
Yeah, Coach, as fans, we talk a lot about rim protection and rim protection. The best rim protectors, to me, have always been the guys that are able to keep the ball out of the paint in the first place. Mm-hmm. Last night, you didn't have enough of those. So just some of the three-point numbers other teams are enjoying, does it actually start at the point of attack? And that's where the defense is just not what you need it to be, actually on the ball at times.
Yeah, I think that's accurate. But, you know, you have to go into each game with a game plan based on who you're playing. And, you know, OKC is not a great three-point shooting team. They're decent, but not great. Our key going into the game was keeping them off the foul line and keeping them, you know, away from the paint. We just didn't want to give up transition layups and, you know, half-court layups and fouls. And the game, you know, despite the slow start for us, you know, we had a four-point lead in the third quarter. So it really was the fouls in the third that got us. You know, I think they shot 14 or 16 free throws in the third quarter alone, and that just changed everything. So we got a little bit away from our game plan. With that said, watching the tape, I thought OKC played incredibly well. I thought they hit tough shots, and I thought we played well enough to win. And just like I did in L.A., I thought we played well enough to beat the Lakers, but we didn't do it. So I try to look at it big picture wise. You know, we won five in a row at home. We've played well enough to win the last two nights, but we didn't. So we've got to maintain our confidence and get back on the horse tomorrow.
Coach, there have been a lot of questions about the amount of threes that the team is taking and the types of threes that the team is taking. How important is shot selection when it comes to getting back and setting up your defense? All missed shots aren't created equally, so, you know, a bad three-point attempt, it can lead to offense or easy offense for your opponent.
For sure. I mean, you guys hear me talk about connecting the game all the time. You know, connecting the game, meaning you get a good shot on offense, you're going to be in good position defensively. And, you know, if you get a stop on defense, you're going to have a better chance to score in transition before the defense can get set up. So the game's got to connect, and that really starts with good possessions offensively, good shot selection. And there's no question we've had games where we've taken some wild threes, some difficult threes. I never look at the total. I don't really care what the total number of threes is per game. I look at the quality. If we're getting good looks for our good shooters, then the more the merrier. But there are times when bad ones are leading to bad defense.
Coach Kerr, as a player or as a coach, have you ever seen anything like what we have in the Western Conference this year with the standings so packed, for almost from top to bottom, where every day somebody loses a game, someone else wins, and everything's topsy-turvy? Have you ever seen anything like how compacted these standings are in the conference this year?
Never. And I think the play-in tournament has probably added to it. You know, you got more teams now that are going for it at the trade deadline. More teams that feel like they're alive, and but still, even with that, you're talking about a three game difference in the loss column from, you know, 4 to 13, whatever it is. It's crazy. It can turn. Everything can just flip in 48 hours, depending on the results of a few games. So it's remarkable.
Coach, we're going to change the vibe here and talk about something positive. How good has Dante DiVincenzo been for this team? And did you expect this? We know he did some things in Milwaukee, and he struggled with injury and some other things in Sacramento. How good has he been for the Warriors?
Dante's been great. What an addition, and really a good fit with our team, because he's a ball mover. You know, he's really aggressive at both ends of the floor, excellent defender, and he just plays with energy. He's a competitor and a winner, and he fits with any lineup that we play. You know, he can handle the ball, he can play off the ball, and as I said, he moves it along. It's one of the reasons you know, he's been starting with Steph and Clay, because he'll get the ball moving side to side, which is the best way to take advantage of those two shooters. So Dante's been fantastic, and I'm thrilled for him, because he'll be a free agent this summer, and he's put himself in a great position going forward.
You know, the great Gary St. Jean always says when he comes on the station, if you want to know what the Warrior offense is about, he says, two things, player movement, ball movement. And certainly Dante DiVincenzo has been all about that. That said, Coach, I've been a little surprised that the last two games, even with Steph back, still, you've had the slow starts offensively. I thought that, well, when Steph's back, those will take care of themselves there. Were you a little surprised in the last two games that, again, the slow starts have plagued your team?
Yeah, I was, you know, and it's one of the reasons we changed the lineup, you know, in the last couple of games. But it's tough to figure, especially given that we've got Steph and Clay in the backcourt, you know, two incredible shot makers, and the success that we've had with this group. It is surprising that we're getting off to these slow starts. So it's something we're looking at and trying to figure out if there's an answer to it. And we'll keep looking.
We appreciate it. And by the way, I know he's only played limited minutes here, but what have you thought of Andre Iguodala's return so far?
Well, Andre's he understands the game at a level that is so crucial for success. I mean, what he does at both ends, even though he's not really scoring, he's just he's connecting our shooters. He's getting the ball to the right people, and then defensively, he's a genius. I mean, he knows exactly what's happening. He's so long and athletic. Even, you know, at this age, he's still incredibly athletic, and you know, he gets in front of somebody, that guy is generally not going to get around him, nor is he going to get a good shot over the top of him. So Andre's he's still a hell of a player.
Coach, you face the Grizzlies tomorrow, and obviously there's been a lot going on with Ja Morant. And even last year, there were talks about the team not necessarily being better without Ja Morant, but they played really well when he wasn't on the floor. They've struggled a little bit with him being gone. They have lost three straight. But how do you keep the team focused and focused on the task at hand? Because this team can still be scary without Ja Morant.
Yeah, I think Tyus Jones is one of the best backup points in the league. I mean, he's a fantastic player. You know, he's given us trouble in the past, and they obviously have got plenty of talent when you look at their roster with Bane and Brooks and Jackson and all these guys. So still a very formidable team, well-coached, a two-way team, you know, really good defensively, and they can get out and score. So we know it's going to be a tough game tomorrow, regardless of who's out there.
Looking forward to it. Best of luck to you the rest of the way, Coach. Thanks for your time. We appreciate it. Talk to you soon.
Okay, you too. Thanks, guys.